Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Dia's first quarter 2017 results presentation. The call, as usual, will be hosted by the Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Ricardo Currás, and by the Chief Corporate Officer, Mr. Armando Sánchez. They will together cover a set of slides before moving into the Q&A session. Before getting started, I would like to remember you again that this conference call is being recorded, and it will be available for playback right after the end. I also invite you to review the legal disclaimer of the document. And now, I turn the call over to Ricardo Currás. Ricardo, please.
Thank you, David. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Dia's first quarter 2017 results presentation. Let's start with page number five, in which we summarize the main highlights of the period. The first 3 months of the year have not been the exception of the trend registered in the last few quarters, and we have continued to face challenging market conditions in the countries we operate. In Iberia, we remain immersed in a tough and intense competitive scenario, while in emerging markets, recent inflationary pressures have partially eased, although the latter was fully compensated with a better evolution of foreign exchange rates. Despite such conditions, the company has seen its gross sales under banner grew at a healthy 7% rate in euros, reaching 2.5 billion euros at the end of March 2017. As we will review in detail on following pages, like-for-like in Iberia confirms the upward trend started in Q2 2016, whereas the emerging market segment continues growing at double digit. On the other hand, after the recent acquisitions carried out in the Iberian Peninsula, the company has further developed its rationalization plan of underperforming stores, which resulted in a negative impact of 2.6% on gross sales. We believe that commercial space growth will recover in the second half of the year. With regards to profitability, consolidated adjusted EBITDA margin remains stable at circa 6%. By segment, both Iberia and emerging markets posted certain margin enhancements. We will further elaborate on those improvements later in the presentation. At EBIT level, the relevant reduction of non-recurrent items have underpinned a sound 7.7% growth in euros. The continued efforts made by the company towards a successful develop of the online channel continue to bear fruits, with sales figure 3.4 times higher than the one recorded same period last year. And finally, we have started a process to explore strategic options for our business in China. Armando now will cover the financial section. Armando, you have the floor.
Many thanks, Ricardo. Good morning, everyone. On slide number seven, and as Ricardo already mentioned, Dia has seen its gross sales grow 6.8% to circa 2.5 billion euros. Like for like on one side, and Forex on the other have positively contributed with 4.1% and 3.7% growth rates, respectively. Space-wise, underperforming commercial space reduction has offset consolidated quarterly network expansion. In this context, space contributed negatively by 1% to gross sales. As already explained, we expect this trend to turn back in the second part of the year. In the next couple of slides, we will zoom into the favorable top-line development in Iberia. First, on page number eight, you can see that Iberia registered a solid 0.8% ex-calendar like-for-like growth in the quarter on the back of the continued measures put in place by the company. Such positive figure was offset by the previously mentioned net 2.6% effect of commercial space reduction. Overall, gross sales under banner decreased by 1.8% to circa 1.6 billion euros. Second, on slide number nine, we take a closer look at the historic performance of like-for-like in Iberia. First quarter of 2016 appear as the turning point in the like-for-like of our Iberian operations. Since then, like-for-likes have grown for four consecutive quarters. Especially if we take a look at the January-April period with a like-for-like of 1.4%, we see this as very positive, as this figure is more relevant as the Easter effect is offset in this year. On slide number 10, we focus on the top-line performance of our emerging market, which has increased by 25.2% to more than 930 million euros. Emerging operations continue to grow at double-digit like-for-like growth rate, despite the relevant drop in food inflation registered in both Argentina and Brazil, and a softer start of the market and our sales in Brazil. Regarding space and Forex, new stores drove up gross sales by 3.2%, while both currency movements fueled circa 12% on the back of a 28% appreciation of the Brazilian real. Overall, emerging markets now represent more than 37% of total group's sales under banner. Moving to profitability metrics on slide number 11, DIA's adjusted EBITDA increased by 4.2% in the first quarter of 2017, reaching 123 million euros. This EBITDA growth is mainly driven by the continued increase in emerging markets and the favorable Forex impact, with a slight negative contribution from Iberia. Turning to the next slide, number 12, on margins, adjusted EBITDA margins have been stable both in Iberia and emerging markets. In Iberia, we achieved an adjusted EBITDA margin of 7.6% versus 7.5% in Q1 2016, and at 2.9% in emerging markets, around 20 basis points higher than last year. DIA, as a group, posted an adjusted EBITDA margin of 5.9%, 10 basis points lower than last year. This slight decrease is due entirely to the higher relative weight of emerging countries, which has a lower margin than Iberia. The trend is similar at EBIT level. Group adjusted EBIT margin decreased slightly from 3.3% to 3.1%. While Iberia posted an improvement of margin, the emerging market adjusted EBIT margin decreased from 1.1% in Q1 2016 to 0.9% in Q1 2017. The reason behind this lower adjusted EBIT margin in the segment is the increased depreciation charge in this year due to the higher level of investment carried out during the last few years. Finally, on slide number 13, you can see that our net debt position stood at 1.05 billion as of March 2017, which implies a 1.7x net debt to last 12 months EBITDA ratio, a reduction versus the 1.9x ratio of March 2016. Compared to the same period in 2016, this represents a 117 million euro reduction. On this note, finally, on March 27, we successfully issued a six-year Eurobond of 300 million euros under our Euro Mid-Term Note program with a coupon of 0.875%. Out of the new 300 million issue, 194 of new bonds were exchanged for our existing bonds maturing in July 2019 with a 1.5% coupon, extending the average life of our maturities. Now Ricardo will cover some operating highlights and closing remarks. Ricardo?
Thank you, Armando. Let's now briefly comment on the group's operating highlights and expected outlook in the coming months. As we have previously indicated, in Iberia, we are seeing increased competitive pressure, whereas in emerging markets, we are competing in a lower inflation environment. Despite these challenges, gross sales and adjusted EBITDA grew soundly in the first quarter. In Spain, our remodeling plans are posting very positive results, and these plans will accelerate during the second and third quarter of this year. In addition, the first test of the new DIA market are delivering promising results, so we are confident on the future results of our refurbishment plans. Portugal has posted strong sales growth fully confirming its turnaround from a financial perspective. As I'm sure you will be aware, during the first months of 2017, we have put in place a new internal organization in Spain. The group is now organized in different business lines: Dia, La Plaza de Dia supermarkets, and Clarel. This new structure will allow us to adapt more efficiently to the company's reality and improve our customer focus. Finally, in China, we are actively looking for a strategic partner. We will keep you posted if there is any major event in this respect. Moving to slide 16, we finalize the presentation with our priorities for 2017. Our focus will remain on maintaining the like-for-like performance in Iberia through an active management of our store base. Our remodeling plans will accelerate during the next two quarters, and we will continue to invest in customers through better pricing and improved service. Space contraction in Spain will slow down on the second half of 2017. In LATAM, the low inflation environment is expected to continue during the year, and we will reinforce our investment in customers in Brazil with better pricing through the loyalty card. Finally, we reiterate our commitment to achieve our targets for the year end.
Before getting into the Q&A session, we would like to remind that Dia's third Capital Markets Day will take place on June 21st in London and the next day, June 22nd, in Madrid. We encourage you to save the date and register in a dedicated microsite, Dia Group Capital Markets Day 2017.com, if you haven't done it yet. Now, we are happy to take any questions you may have. Operator, please, you can open the Q&A session.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question today, please press the star or asterisk key followed by the digit one on your telephone keypad. Please limit to two questions per person. If you have further queries or follow-up questions, please rejoin the queue. Again, that's star one to ask a question. We will now pause for one moment to allow everyone to signal. We can now take our first question from Philip Rose from Haitong Bank. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Firstly, on the evolution of working capital, there's been a significant draw from the working capital that you delivered in Q4. Could you just explain a little bit this evolution on top of seasonality, of course, but whether the consolidation of China has had an impact, what has been that impact? In the same way, what has been the impact of the deconsolidation of China on the evolution of net debt? What would have been the net debt in Q1 if you still counted China as an ongoing business? That would be my first question. My second question relates to the outlook for Iberia in terms of like-for-like and space growth contribution. On space growth, you said that you expect a less negative evolution in second half. Could you just guide us what would you expect for the full year to be the space growth contribution in Iberia? In terms of like-for-like, you reported a quite strong like-for-like in April due to Easter. Do you think that this 1.4 accumulated performance up to April is sustainable for the full year, or the fact that the comps are getting tougher for the rest of the year, it could make it more difficult for you to maintain this performance? Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Philippe. I did count three questions anyway. First, on the evolution of working capital. I think working capital in the first quarter of the year is very much in line with the evolution of the business. If you look at the figures we reported, we have trade working capital at the end of March of 712 million euros, which is 2.3% higher than last year on a constant currency basis and 3.6% higher in euros, while sales have grown 2.9% in local currencies and 6.8% in euros. It is also true that there is some higher contribution of sales growth in Latin America and a negative contribution of sales in Iberia. As you know, trade working capital is somehow difficult to predict on a quarterly basis, and obviously the evolution in the previous quarter should be taken into account to explain the following. We did acknowledge that Q4 saw a very relevant inflow, and Q1 2017 has probably been slightly higher than average outflow, but again, we see this very much in line with the evolution of the business. In average for working capital and for the rest of the financial figures, the business in China is not relevant. Sales contribution, as you know, were around 2%. You have the figure of assets and liabilities that are now held for sale, and there is not a significant contribution to any of the financial metrics. And I will pass the third question to Ricardo.
Thank you, Philippe, for your question. I will elaborate a little bit more about the space contraction in Iberia and Spain, specifically because there's been no space contraction in Portugal. And like-for-like growth for the next periods. First, as you said, and I absolutely agree, we had a strong April. We presented or we gave the results of like-for-like in Iberia till April, because you know the Easter effect is always misleading when you have Easter in March and then you have Easter in April next year, which was the case in 2017, and therefore it's better to see March plus April than only March or only April. And therefore, what we see anyway is that we obtain a 1.4% increase in like-for-like in Iberia in the first 4 months of the year, which is, from my point of view, a good result, taking into account what is happening in the market, where there are more negative figures everywhere. When you look at the numbers, the numbers are good in Spain and good in Portugal. We have like-for-likes over 1% in both countries, and this is from our point of view, a good news, and gives a lot of credibility to our plans to continue investing in customers, investing in prices, investing in service, and improving our stores through our remodeling plans. I will elaborate a little bit more on that too. Space contraction was important in Spain in the first quarter. We closed those stores that we believe will not be profitable in the long term. After a big plan of acquisitions in the last 3 years, we decided to finish the plan by closing everything that will not be profitable in the long term. And that's it. That's over. We have finished our restructuring, and we continue opening new stores, Clarel stores, Dia stores, even some Plaza stores will be opened, and therefore we expect an improvement in expansion in the second part of the year, and therefore a better trend in Spain's growth in the second part of the year, as we will see new stores entering and not closing any more stores or closing just a few stores in the next months. So growth of space, as I said, will restart will improve in the second part of the year. I would say even from the second quarter of this year. Speaking about like-for-likes, you said if it will be tougher for us to obtain the like-for-like numbers in the next quarters due to more difficult historical data. Well, we have very good plans in place. We can maybe elaborate a little bit more with new questions on that. We are very confident on our remodeling plans and all our investment in service and prices we have done in the last months and quarters, and therefore, we are confident that we will maintain a good trend in like-for-like for the next quarters.
Your next question is from Maxime Mallet from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Thanks for taking my questions. I had a few, actually. First, coming back on the working capital, I wanted to, well, have a view, your view about where you think it's going to land by year-end. Do you believe that working capital, change in working capital will be roughly flat? I think that's what you mentioned in Q4, for the Q4 presentation. The second with regard to net debt and whether, what do you expect this year in terms of net debt reduction, if you can give us some color, some more color on that. The third one with regard to your targets, notably 2016-18, notably on the operating cash flow from operations that you did not reiterate on the press release. So if you can give us also your view about whether you are reiterating also this guidance, that would be all for now. Thanks.
Good morning, Maxime. Thank you for your questions. On the first two, on trade working capital and net debt, what we said at the beginning of the year still obviously stands in general terms, and the three-year outlook is still there. We confirm our targets. We have not provided any specific, and we are not now in a position to provide any specific guidance for each line of our P&L and our cash flows. Obviously, as I suggested in the first answer to Philippe, when there is a certain positive movement or a movement in one direction in working capital in the next period, there is likely a less of a probability of an output or an inflow or outflow in the same direction. So yes, we do not expect such a positive inflow obviously this year. And obviously that will have an impact obviously in the net debt at the end of the year. We have not, and we will not reiterate every quarter our three-year targets, but we are definitely committed to that, and we see no reason why this quarter represents a deviation from what we are looking to achieve in that regard.
We can now take our next question from Cedric Lecasble from Raymond James. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you for taking my questions. Good morning, Ricardo, Armando, and team. I would have two questions, actually, on your commercial initiatives to understand your action plans in Spain. When you added La Plaza to their market in terms of action plan and remodelings, can you tell us exactly what you are doing and what will be the pace and the scale of these remodelings for the two banners this year? And on LATAM, could you be a little more specific on Brazil? You had 3% organic growth in the quarter. Could you help us maybe understand the split between like-for-like and expansion and come back on the expansion strategy in the country? Does the tougher competitive environment influence by any way your expansion plans? Thank you.
Thank you very much for your questions. I will answer to both of them. I will elaborate a little bit about our plans in Spain with La Plaza and the market. You will allow me not to give all the details because we will present all these details in June in our investor day, but at least I will give you some color of them. Maybe first, what is our plan? Our plan is a strong plan for 2017. We want to remodel 200 Diamarket stores, 200 Diamaxi stores, and around 100 La Plaza stores in Spain, which is a good number of stores if you take into account the total number of our stores. The good news is that the level of capex required per store in our remodeling plans will be low per store. And second, that the closing days that we will, the days we will have the stores closed to remodel will be also shorter than usual. All the plans have been tested with very good results, specifically the new ones, which are Diamarket. We have tested Diamarket now in around 15 to 16 stores, and we have decided to launch the projects because the results are very encouraging. And the same is happening with the upgrade of La Plaza, and the plan to upgrade La Plaza is also giving very good results. This is a new plan in place that we have also tested in a few stores, and we have decided to launch it too for the year. That's why we believe we have a strong plan, a strong operational plan for 2017 in Spain. With this plan, plus our investment in service and in prices that we will continue throughout the year, we expect that good results as we are already having this year. Let's go now to Brazil. The results, the sales in the first quarter in Brazil have been lower than in the previous quarters, and certainly disappointing because we were used to much better sales increases in the last quarters. You have to take into account that the market is, let's say, it clearly awful, has been awful in the last months, with volumes decreasing every month in the market more than 4%. We still continue gaining some market share despite in this first quarter, despite the weak results in like-for-likes, which were somehow negative in volume. And which were, of course, partly due to a lower inflation, because we have now a lower inflation in Brazil, but also on a slowdown of our volume growth. Again, absolutely in line with the market, even a little bit better, as I said. But we are not happy with that, and we have decided to act immediately, to tackle the situation immediately. We are putting in place now plans to improve our price investment through the loyalty card, which we launched last year, and probably this also gave us extra sales last year that make us more difficult to obtain the sales this year. But we are very, as you know, we are very ambitious in this region, and we think that we have tools, and this loyalty card will give us new opportunities with the one-to-one marketing that we are expanding faster or farther this year, and we expect that in the following quarters we will improve our sales growth in like-for-like sales growth in Brazil.
And we can now take our next question from Arnold Jolly from Soitin. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, Ricardo, Armando, and team. I have two questions. The first one on Brazil. So you mentioned growing price investments in this country. I know it's difficult, but where do you stand in terms of prices versus competitors? I mean, hypermarkets, supermarkets, and cash and carry stores, to give us some flavor there. My second question on Iberia regarding the like-for-like sales growth you delivered in Q1, is there a gap between integrated stores and franchise stores? Thank you.
Thank you for your questions. I will answer both of them. In Brazil, our price position is good. Against hypermarkets and supermarkets, we have a big gap, positive gap. The cash and carries, which are, as you know, very aggressive in terms of pricing, even taking into account the pricing they give for big volumes of sales, we are absolutely in line with this level of prices. But as I told you, I think we have still an opportunity to leverage on our loyalty card, especially on the one-to-one promotional activity, which is basically paid and negotiated with our suppliers, because they are always interested because of the elasticity of these type of actions. And therefore, we think that we can clearly further leverage on that for this year. When speaking about sales growth, the second question was about the difference of like-for-like between COCO and franchise in Spain. We have now a very similar growth in sales, both in COCO and in franchise.
We can now take our next question from Jerome Ramel from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, Ricardo, Armando, and team. So, two questions, please, on Spain. Can you please comment further on the competitive environment? And, what do you make of Mercadona's decision to step up CapEx and take a hit on profit? Do you fear that the price environment could stiffen in the coming months? That's the first question. And the related one is, if you feel the need to accelerate CapEx in the next years, and if you could tell us where you stand in terms of remodeling. So you gave us the plan for 2017, but what's the percentage or the number of stores that have been remodeled in the last 2 or 3 years, let's say, by format? Thank you.
Thank you for both questions. I will answer to both. First is competitive environment in Spain. Especially you mentioned one of our competitors, Mercadona, because they announced big investment and decrease in profitability. Let me say first plainly, the stakeholders of Mercadona are not exactly the same stakeholders we have as listed companies. So when you listen to Mr. Roig, you have to understand his words from that perspective. Said that, which is, from my point of view, important. Of course, Mercadona is a very competitive company in the market. They have a good pricing position that they have probably improved, especially in the second part of last year, already done. From then, they have maintained the level of prices in the market, which is very competitive, and they are also doing an important remodeling plan in Spain in the stores. Let's see what are the results of this remodeling. This remodeling plan probably will affect a little bit more than 100 of their stores throughout the year. That's why we have decided to work, not only because Mercadona said that, before that, on a plan to improve our stores. We knew that we had some opportunities in the market. I mentioned that last year, as you know, We knew that we could upgrade our supermarkets. We knew also that we had to continue our successful remodeling plan in Maxi, and with that we have built a very strong plan of remodelings in 2017, which is very efficient in terms of CapEx. I think it's very efficient in terms of CapEx, and also very efficient in terms of how many days you have to close the store for the remodeling. So we are very confident that that will not necessarily accelerate our CapEx for next year, because we have included that in our total plan. And second, that that will give us good results in our sales. Let me give you some more information. Maybe you have read some declarations of the new top management of Lidl, saying that the plan to improve the stores are not always paying off. When you invest a lot in CapEx, that doesn't mean that you necessarily obtain the paying off of these investments. Well, that's just for your thoughts.
Next question is from Sridhar Mahamkali from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning all. So two questions and one quick follow-up. The follow-up is, Ricardo, did you say that the space reduction in Spain is largely finished and that we could see space growth from Q2 itself? If you could clarify that, please. And the two questions are, one, you've talked about increasing competitive pressures across all markets and in Iberia as well, but clearly your margins are up 17 basis points in Q1. If you could talk about the drivers of it and any thoughts on the remainder of the year. And the second question is just on non-recurring items in CapEx. If you have any thoughts for how we should think about rest of the year, and that will be very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you for the questions. Maybe I didn't explain myself properly, so I will try to clarify. What I said is that the closings of the stores have been done, already done in the first quarter of the year. From this point on, we will open more stores than close stores, which will mean that throughout the year we will again recover the situation of our space growth. That's what I said. But thank you for your question, because it is important to clarify that. Drivers of margin improvement is your second question and expectation for the rest of the year. Well, what we have seen in the first quarter is mainly we have maintained our level of EBITDA margins in both segments, a little bit small enhancement. Our expectation for the rest of the year, you know, because we gave you the guidance, which is stable margins, EBITDA margins in India in both segments. Throughout the year, this is our expectations, and the drivers of margin improvements is clearly two main drivers. First, we continue to be very efficient, more and more efficient every day. We have a lot of plans in place to improve our efficiency, with very good results in terms of cost reductions. I think we will also have the time to elaborate that in June. You will see that we continue to be very, very focused on that point. And of course, as you know, we have several alliances in place, buying alliances in place, which are also giving us good results. And if you look at the press, not only to us.
Good morning, Sridhar. Thank you for your questions. The first on margins. Well, as in previous years, it is not easy to drive conclusions from the first quarter of the year. We stay confident that we will be able to maintain our margins both in both segments, and obviously excluding the impact of currencies. We do face definitely competitive threats in all of our markets, and we are confident that we can deliver synergies in the commercial front. We have continued to progress on our commercial agreement. We have not talked about that today, but we have put in place a new established JV with Eroski to improve our purchasing of private labels in Spain, and we think that will have an impact. So the balance, as we as Ricardo stated, is that we expect to be able to invest in price, invest in the customer, and deliver synergies to sustain our margins. Regarding your two other points on non-recurring elements and CapEx, I think that non-recurring elements in general has definitely gone down in the quarter by 20%. It is true that what we describe as cash items has been higher in this quarter because of the concentration of store closures that obviously have clear impact in those elements as additional personal expenses and some real estate cost associated to the closure of those stores. And clearly, we see those cash items going down in the successive quarters during the year, and that will lead us to that expected decline overall for the year. Regarding CapEx, I think it's definitely early in the year. The figures of the first quarter are in line with previous year, and there's not too much to add there. We obviously there will be also probably an impact from currencies, and that will drive some elements. We are ready also to invest more if needed, but as Ricardo explained, with the plan that we have in place today, is yielding good results, is taking us to improve customer ratings and to better sales performance, and we are comfortable that plan will get us to the desired result.
Next question is from Xavier Lemaine from Bank of America.
Sorry, yes, good morning, Ricardo and Armando. One question only for me is just getting some clarity on the margin. You are guiding for the full year, you know, flat EBITDA margin. Initially, you were guiding for flat margin in Iberia and then an improvement in emerging, which is not what we've seen actually in Q1. So does that mean that the margin mix is potentially changing and what you were guiding initially also has been changing given the Q1 numbers? And to get to the flat EBIT margins for the full year, it means that the emerging needs to improve by 40 to 50 bips. Can you confirm that? Are you happy with this calculation? And do you think that you can achieve that, actually?
Good morning, Xavier. I think what we guided for at the beginning of the year is what we continue to guide for, is stability of margins at adjusted EBITDA level. I think this quarter is clearly online with that, and there's not too much more to add. I don't think the first quarter results give us a different mix. We didn't guide for a specific margin at each of the segments, and if that is your reading, fine, but our words and our guidance was written in the first quarter, in the full year release, and we stand behind it, and what is still, we confirm it. But please read it again, and you will have probably a different conclusion.
Next question is from Alvaro Lenz from Bankinter. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. I would like to have some information on the Iberian slowdown that we have seen in the last quarters, and I would like to, if you could give us some color in if it's coming from price decreases or from volume decreases. And also, the 1.4 year-to-date like-for-like, is that ex-calendar? And if it's ex-calendar, what has been the impact in, or what has been the drivers in April to give such a good performance? And also on operating working capital, could you give us the figure of the impact that it has had in the net debt increase quarter on quarter? And finally, regarding to China, are you going to give additional financial information in order to assess the value of the unit? Thank you very much.
Thank you for your questions. I will answer you the first question about sales and leave the floor to Amanda to answer you to the other questions. Well, you said Iberia slowdown. We didn't see that. We saw an improvement in Iberia's like-for-likes in these first 4 months of the year. As I said before, I think it's important to add March and April because of the different Eastern periods in both years. That's why we provide. That's why we decided to provide this information till April. Of course, these numbers are ex-calendar. Mm-hmm. They are exactly with the same pattern as we give the rest of the information. And from there, I elaborate again, saying that what we have seen is a good growth in both Spain and Portugal in like-for-like terms in these four first months of the year, and we expect to continue with this growth in the next quarters.
Thank you for your questions. I will answer on, I think we already discussed trade working capital and net debt effect in the quarter. We've seen, I think you definitely have to compare, and that's what we do in the release, and you have the numbers there. We have had an improvement of trade working capital. We have negative working capital, and that negative figure has grown versus 12 months ago. Obviously, there is an outflow, and you have the numbers in the release in the first quarter of the year, which is typical in DIA every year. This year, as we explained, is higher than it was last year, and that has to do with the performance of previous quarters, as we discussed before. On the second question on China, what we are communicating today is that we have opened a process to explore options for our business in China, and we are just at the start of that process, and definitely is too early to give more details to assess the different alternatives, partnerships or sale of the business, and to discuss valuation. In any case, as we mentioned before, the impact of in the financial the performance of the company, of our business in China, is always somehow limited in most of the lines.
Next question is from Juan Ros from BBVA. Please go ahead.
Hello, good morning. Thank you for taking my questions. I have three. First one, it's a follow-up on the CapEx and on the remodeling plans. You were mentioning before that the remodeling is going to be quite efficient in terms of CapEx intensity. I understand that maybe you don't want to disclose upper store CapEx. I checked the CapEx consensus for next 3 years overall for the group, it's 340 to 350 million euros per year. Do you feel comfortable with that figure? Second, you were mentioning, correct me if I'm wrong, but you were mentioning 200 Dia Market, 200 Maxis, and 100 Plazas. That I understand that's Spain. Do you have the numbers for Portugal and how far you've gone in Q1 with the remodeling? The second question is regarding market share. I don't know if you can provide us with an update on how your market share is evolving in Iberia, specifically in Spain, if you are if you've gained market share in the recent months or quarters. Finally, regarding the guidance, you said after Q1 that you feel that after these results, you know, this is compatible with achieving your goals for 2017. Again, there was a bit bug. So I don't know if you maybe, again, with the consensus thing, maybe you feel comfortable with the 635 million euros EBITDA that consensus is reflecting today. Thank you.
Thank you for your questions. I will answer. I will speak about market share evolution. I will leave the floor to Amanda to answer the rest of the questions. So, of course, the fact that we are closing some stores has an impact on sales, has an impact on sales and an impact on market share, because the Spanish market is now flattish in terms of growth, and we have some decline on sales, so we are losing in these first months of the year some market share in Spain. My point of view is that as we continue through the year and we start to have space growth, which is not affecting us negatively, if we continue with a good trend of like-for-like, which we expect, that will be the clearly the trend will change. I just wanted to tell you about the level of remodelings that I said we are going to do 500 remodelings in Spain, which is a very strong plan. We have also a strong plan in Portugal. Maybe Amanda want to add some more words, but in Portugal, most of the plan had been of remodelings had been already done in 2015 and 2016. There are some stores to be remodeled, but not as many, because we did the big part of the plan in 2015 and 2016, and the numbers are there. We are having very good sales trends in Portugal, and I think the results of the plan have been very successful. Amando?
Yes, you mentioned a few different elements. Juan, thank you for your question. On the CapEx plan for the next few years, I think the figure of 340, 350 is something that looks reasonably in line with history out of the periods where we've made acquisitions and worked more on a new base of stores, so obviously with some increases in one specific market, but overall that figure seems reasonable. Again, also the base of the company is growing, and you could expect probably for the end years also to have a figure which is somehow higher on the maintenance of the base. But obviously, again, as if we continue to expand the space significantly in emerging markets, and if we can sustain, I think we have visibility obviously for the next at least the next couple of years, but how you plan that further is going to be again, you will have more of some ongoing capex and remodeling on a longer base, and then the expansion will be a function of the opportunities which we see, which are now strong, and we are seeing CapEx growing in emerging markets, whether in the absence of acquisitions and in Spain, we see a more stable picture, declining from the last couple of years. And I think the first quarter figures are definitely in line with that. Regarding the progress of the remodeling process in Portugal, the figures our business in Portugal doesn't move the needle in terms of the total investment when you consider Iberia as a whole. But as Ricardo suggested, the plan is well advanced, and we are now contributing positively to a space. So we're adding now a space in Portugal again, and have done some successful openings. We still have some Maxi stores to remodel. We are progressing well with the expansion of the new market model, especially with franchisees. But again, most of the plan, or a significant part of the plan, is completed. Regarding in a market, as we said, that has continued to be very competitive, and where we have performed ahead of the market and ahead of our peers. In terms of the last point on the guidance and what you see on I guess the Bloomberg screen today of 635, I want to be too precise. We express our guidance in terms of sales growth and margin stability, but definitely if we continue to deliver on this sales growth and a relatively stable margin performance, that's a figure we feel comfortable with.
There are no further questions over the audio at this time.
Okay, we move now to the internet Q&A session. Today we have had many questions. We have tried to extract the ones that are really pending to be covered. The first one comes from Tim Attenborough at Banco Santander. What were the losses in China in Q1 2016? So what is the impact on group EBITDA, and is there any debt for China being taken out?
Thank you, Tim, for your question. Again, what you have, what you can calculate from the release is the impact we saw on 2016, which was approximately net sales of 40-something million euros, and a negligible loss at the EBITDA level, close to one million euros, and there's no massive change to the figures in Q1 17, and the impact on the total figure of net debt is again not significant.
The second question, and it's one that has come from many different sources, is about, comes from, in this case, from Andrew Wing, Exam BNP Paribas. It's about China. We held for sale, but you are looking for a strategic partner, which implies you are not going to sell it. Can you elaborate on that, please?
Thank you for your question. Yes, what we said is that we are at our early stage of exploring options in for our Chinese business, which, as you know, we said that in the past we had to do it because it's a small business in terms of volume in a big country. So in this early stage, what we are clearly doing is actively looking for a strategic partner, as we said, and I prefer to keep you posted if there is any major event in this respect in the next weeks.
Another question from Andrew is about the Iberian depreciation. Can you explain why Iberian depreciation has gone down year-on-year when CapEx to depreciation has been so high?
Thank you, Andrew, for your question. We have seen throughout the year a trend, throughout 2016, a trend of clearly a decline in the growth of D&A, and now we have seen a quarter in which the D&A total figure has been lower than in the quarter. So we see definitely no change or no change in the trend we've been seeing in the last few quarters, especially as there has been a decline after the a couple of two very strong years of increase of depreciation, given the increased perimeter and the special effort we did in completing the improvements of the store we acquired from El Arbol and Eroski. Then there is a process ongoing. This year you should expect a much more stable D&A throughout the year, and obviously we are starting to see the depreciation of some assets. The remodeling process of taking in the last decade definitely coming off to the, of the depreciation charge, and assets that are fully depreciated that are still, some are still in use and some are still are taken out within the new remodeling process, which have a negative impact in the total figure of D&A.
The final one from Andrew is, given the tougher base of comparison, would you expect the bare January to April like-for-like in Iberia to continue?
Well, yes, as I said, the first 4 months of the year have had a good trend in terms of like-for-like in Iberia, and we have a strong plan. I explained it through the conference call. With improved service, price investments, and a big plan of remodelings in Spain and in Portugal, and therefore we are confident that we'll continue with this trend for the rest of the year.
We have a question from Andrea Benenti and the analyst. Could you give us an indication of the factoring in the quarter?
Yes, you have the figure in the presentation and in the release. It was 99.2 million euros.
And the final one comes from Iñigo Busquiza, Kepler Cheuvreux. It's about CapEx. Given the remodeling plan you are facing in Spain, it's being upgraded. Could you please remind us the CapEx target for 2017? Are you going to be in line with the guidance?
Good morning, Iñigo. Thank you for your question. We guided only less than 3 months ago to a slight decline in CapEx for the year. We still see no reason to change that. And obviously, we will give ourselves flexibility if needed. And as Ricardo explained before, we are very focused on obtaining good return from our investment. If we see an opportunity to accelerate capital expenditures that will give returns, we'll be ready to react. But as of today, we see no major reason to change what we said less than 3 months ago.
Well, with this question, we have ended today's conference call. I would like to remind you that next earnings release, first half 2017, is due for July 27th. But before that day, we will celebrate our third Capital Markets Day in London and Madrid in June 21st and 22nd, respectively. We will be pleased to meet you all there. Thank you very much for your time and have a good day.